First reading is from Psalm 133, verses 1 to 3. How wonderful, how beautiful, when brothers and sisters get along. It's like costly anointing oil flowing down head and beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon, flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yes, that's where God commands the blessing, ordains eternal life. And the second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect.
How many sermons have we shared together in this space, do you suppose? My calculator tells me that there are 854 Sundays in 17 years. And when I had to go back and look at some dates today, my first Sunday after my candidating sermon was August 20th. So we really have come full circle of 17 years. But we've got to deduct for vacations, sabbaticals, and sick days. But we've also got to add in for weddings, funerals, Ash Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Thanksgiving services. So I suspect it all kind of evens out in the end to about 850 sermons. Wow, you are a patient and indulgent bunch. Because we all know they're not home runs, not all of them by any means.
But there has been a fair bit of variety, hasn't there? An advent early on when I covered these gorgeous windows with black plastic and closed the shutters because the theme was coming of the light. And how can you really appreciate the coming of the light unless it's practically pitch dark in church when we start out? Those of you caught in the midst of seasonal affective disorder were incredibly patient to not just say, "That's it, you're fired." A few people did come to me and say, "It's an awfully dark time of the year, Mandy, to make the sanctuary even darker." We focused on the Beatitudes, the Ten Commandments, even the Apostles' Creed, which was a bold move for a church that is based on covenantal identity rather than creedal. We've heard about the cross for weeks on end, on stones, baskets, hearts, living water. Thankfully, that sermon series did not take place during the summer that Irene chose to visit us. And I've dressed up over and over as a shepherd, an angel, a wise seeker. Once I even portrayed God on a Maundy Thursday. I portrayed the five outsider women in the opening of Matthew's gospel during Advent. And if you were here, and even if you weren't here, I suspect you have heard about the infamous motorcycle sermon. And you may even still be wondering about whether I had some years of debauchery. Who knows? This crazy list of creative worship experiences was all because of you. Your patience, your forbearance, your encouragement. Your sense that no matter what crazy idea I thought up, God could and would nevertheless be glorified, and you would find the best in it, or you would suffer through it, but you never put up a roadblock, and you never complained, very loudly, at least to me anyway. A willing and a gracious congregation is the greatest gift that a pastor can receive, and you have given me that tenfold. You have been open and honest and eager. You've put your lives on the line. You've tried new things. You've invented scripts. We've invented worship services. And always, God has been glorified and we have been blessed. In seminary, we were warned over and over again that the most common phrase we would hear, particularly in our first church, was, "We've never done it that way before." And I have to tell you, I've never heard that said to me ever at Old South Church. Thank you so much for support and good-hearted commitment to our beloved church and to me. On Thursday night at the Goodbye Potluck, John D'Angelo made some very kind observations, and one of them in particular touched me. He said that it had been such a privilege serving as a deacon and hearing me talk about what I was working on for worship, and then getting to see it come to fruition. I've never thought about what that might have felt like. "Well, guys, I was thinking about installing a fountain here in worship, and I want to start with about 18 yards of blue netting, and we're going to wrap it kind of around the organ poles and come down and go around the pulpit, and then we're going to come at the base of the pew of the baptismal font. Okay? Okay." And your grace, your mercy, your patience, your willingness to trust blessed whatever was done. You never said to me, even if you maybe said to each other, "Gosh, that sounds tacky," or "Really, a fountain in the sanctuary? What if it floods?" Or "Gauzy blue around the baptism, what?" You never did. You never even said, "When is she ever going to clean all that up?" Again, at least to me. Even if you were feeling those things, you graciously went along. And there have been flubs, plenty of them. Remember the popcorn from just a few months ago? I think it was rancid that I fed to the kids during the children's sermon. It only partly popped, and it was disgusting. And they were still just okay, and the next week I brought them something nice to eat as a sorry, and they trusted me, they just ate it right away. I hope they forgive me in the deepness of their heart, not just when they're up here being looked at. I've gone on a bit today in my introduction, because today I have a new sermon for you, and it's in a form that I've never offered before. And no, it's not liturgical dance, so sorry to disappoint. Today's sermon is a letter to your next called pastor, and I am naming them Pat, because Pat could be the name of a man or a woman. I don't know who's coming here next to be your called, settled pastor. And no one does right now except God. And there are many steps between today and that time. In the next month or two, you'll have a bridge pastor who will come in and lead worship. And at the same time, you'll have a different person who's doing pastoral care, because no one is free to come in and do all of it. And you'll be blessed by those people. Hopefully in a few months, you'll call an interim person who is specifically gifted for this time in a congregation's life. One of the statistics I have heard is that the interim probably ought to stay for a month for every year that the pastor was here. So they'll be here for a bit if that works out in their schedule and in yours. And they will come with all kinds of gifts. They will be able to help you dream together about what God is calling next in Old South's future. And they'll also be able to look at the ways that Old South could be better organized or better prepared for the work ahead, and how old patterns that might not have been as healthy as they could have been need to be changed. And I encourage you to delve into that wholeheartedly. If you're concerned that when they say, gosh, this hasn't been done right, that I might get my feelings hurt or it might be disrespectful for my time here, do not do that. I want the best for you. I hope so much that Old South and I know will just get better and better. So know that I have felt loved and appreciated, and whatever needs to happen next needs to happen next. And that you all will discern that without concern for how I might feel if I hear about changes. I want the best for you. And I know that in part will mean doing things differently than we have done them together. This time of assessment and change, as complicated as it might be, is also a gift. And when all that is done, you'll call another settled pastor to love you, to teach you, to minister to and with you. And here are my words to that person. Dear Pat, congratulations on becoming the newly called, settled pastor of Old South Church, UCC, Windsor, Vermont. You will be so blessed. First of all, you'll be living in the Upper Valley of Vermont, a place that is hard to surpass in beauty. You're going to be living on the banks of the mighty Connecticut and at the foothills of the majestic Mount Ascutney Mountain. Your parish inhabits both sides of the river, and you will be struck over and over again, marveling at God's creativity and the ever-changing seasonal beauty as you visit these parishioners in their homes. And your new home, the parsonage, is a treasure. It's large and sunny and well-maintained and perfect for entertaining and living. There's room for a large flower garden and vegetable garden and space for hanging plants galore. And since we're talking about physical beauty, there's Old South Church's sanctuary, which in all the churches I've ever seen in my whole life, including the one I'm going to, is the most beautiful sanctuary there is. And it is perfectly proportioned for congregational involvement and a sense that we are worshiping together. Which brings me to Old South Church's congregation. Again, I say to you, Pat, you will be so blessed. The members and friends of Old South Church, UCC, Windsor, Vermont, are simply amazing. They are kind, friendly, hardworking. They are great cooks. They are always seeking God's direction to make the world a better place. Years ago, it was Old South Church who reinvigorated the ministry of offering free meals to folks in town. There had been other venues before, but they had petered out. But in 2008, as the recession was getting going, we understood that it was time to offer something once again. So with all the other churches in town, we sought permission to use the American Legion Hall to offer a free weekly meal. Since that time, there have been years when it has waned, but it has flourished, and now it is thriving. Not only are churches involved, but 8 other community groups vie for the opportunity, and Old Self gets bumped fairly often because another group wants to get on board. Old Self Church folks understand that faith comes with responsibilities, and they are able to rise to the occasion. But we are not simply a church that works hard. We also play well. Over the years, we've established a well-respected and deeply enjoyed open mic coffee house. People come share these evenings with us because they know they'll hear good music, find delicious food, but more than that, they will encounter a warmth of welcome that feeds their soul. Old South is a church full of thoughtful and gracious people. So Pat, take good care of them. Feed them a steady diet of spiritually nutritious theology. They don't need easy answers or simplistic ideas. They are good at wrestling with the boundless nuances of God's love and God's mercy. Respect them as you lead and guide them, and be open to all that they will teach you, for it will be much. They are reasonable people. If things get complicated, as they can anywhere, be patient, trust their instincts, work hard to get to the bottom of things, believe that you are all doing the best that you can. If you remain open, this congregation will love you and teach you more than you have ever known before. And they are spiritually hungry. They want to know how to live faithfully in our extremely complicated and contentious world. Honor them by taking their questions and their needs seriously. Delight in them. I've taken amazing liberties with the sanctuary, decorating and with sermon themes, and they have always responded well. Be courageous. Dare to push what you know of God and what you know of God's extravagant welcome. Perhaps they indulged me out of fondness, but they will you too. In any case, remember that these are not stodgy or boring or dull folk. Keep your care and appreciation of them alive and full of God's grace, and you will be thrilled by what you create together. Faith is real here at Old South Church. Deepen your own relationship with God, Pat, even as you offer opportunities to deepen the congregations. Lean on the Vermont Conference. There is great wisdom and kindness to be found within her staff and members. Attend the Pastor's Convocation annual meeting. Become active in the Windsor Orange Association. All of these things have fed me as I've tried to be a good leader to this wonderful flock. Cherish these people, each and every one of them, especially Josh and Laura Compton, our music folks. They are gifted and graceful and fun, and they have added more to Old South Church than any other single thing. You'll also find invaluable help and support from Kat, our church secretary. She is a treasure who will buoy you and help you figure out what needs figuring out. And don't overlook Jen, our custodian, which is easy to do because you never notice a good custodian when they're doing their job well, only when they're not. And Jen does her job very, very well. Pat, I'm not going to mention any parishioners' names because if I start, I wouldn't stop. But know that every single one of them has a story, has a history, has a faith, has a love, has a future that you would be well to encounter and be changed by. Full of faith, fun, kindness, and grace build these folks up. Sometimes people who live in Windsor don't see how truly special and amazing this place and her people are. Many of them do. But if you're ever sensing a lack of healthy pride, work extra hard to remind them how wonderful they are. God loves Old South Church, UCC, Windsor, Vermont. I know this in my bones. Now, God loves everything and everybody, and God's amazingly able to do that, but I think we're just a little more special in God's heart and mind because we love God so profoundly and deeply. You've been chosen to become a part of an extraordinary community and an amazing church, and so you, Pat, must be pretty special too. May God bless you as you receive the gift of this congregation and as you become their gift. Thanks be to God, fondly in Christ. Passa. Passa, Mandy. Amen. Thank you for the honor you have showed me all these years and for the grace that we've endured together and will continue to carry into the next chapter.